People who have never recovered from grief or misfortune. Perhaps a death occurs in their family. Perhaps a beloved spouse. And it becomes really two deaths. Because now the survivor continues to live in the past, continues to grieve, and in some cases, follows the other one soon after to the grave. Now, sometimes this comes through to us as a beautiful thing, especially when the two people have lived together for perhaps a half century and even begin to look like each other. And their love in that time has become a kind of bond as dear to each other as life itself. Now, we do not certainly mean to criticize that situation at all, where an elderly person loses the will to live any longer after all other human ties are gone. Nor, on the other hand, should we criticize those people who, after someone's death, decide to pick up their lives after a time, maybe marry again, at least find new interests in life. But above all, begin to realize that the living God is still with them, calling them, as he does to each one of us, to a new life. What did we hear the prophet call out to each of us a moment ago in the reading? Take off your robes of mourning and of misery. Is there a cure for anyone who always seems to be lamenting the troubles of life? I know that the shortest advice to give to anyone like that is to tell them to simply look around and see real misery. We all know the old proverb, I had no shoes and I complained until I met a man who had no feet. We can always see real misfortune around us, sometimes just out the window, as we see a blind person tapping their way along. We need only look around to our neighbors and our country with all of their economic woes, which are very real, the poverty of people today who are unemployed. It still is amazing to me to be told that what is true, that we Americans spend less of our income on food than any other nation, does not mean we eat less. We eat more than anyone else, but we spend less because we people today live in a land of relative abundance. People who come here from other countries are astonished. They're entranced, not by skyscrapers or Disneylands. They're entranced by the American supermarket. It is here, the supermarket, that they see the harvest poured out like a horn of plenty. And they know that all of us complain about prices, and yet we still have so many hungry people in this land of abundance, much to our shame. We have plenty to do ourselves to put an end to mourning and to misery in our land. And yet the fact does remain, we should not be overly pessimistic about it, because we do continue to have resources, both in the earth and, more important, resources within ourselves. All we need to do is find them and cultivate them. To compare our own misery to those other people who have greater problems than we do is one way to save ourselves from pity. But then we ask, what about those other people who really have troubles? What would the prophet say today, or God's word, to the lame, to the halt, to the blind, to the homeless, to the starving? The prophet, the real prophet, will still continue to speak words of hope. He would tell all people to continue to remember that they are always remembered in the heart of the living God. What we heard today were lines from Revelation, some of the most appealing ever written. Stand upon the heights, see your people gathered from east and west at the word of the Holy One, rejoicing that they are all remembered by God. Perhaps a young man is killed in war and the battle companions say gloomily, that bullet had his name on it. Or perhaps, in the spirit of fatalism, they'd say, they'd expect the same themselves. But then someone else would find a saying from Scripture, I have written your name on the palm of my hand. No, God does not need to do that to remember us. That's a figure of speech. Our names are written in his heart. We people who are Christians should really be realistic but incurable optimists, for we belong to someone who survived death, even death on the cross, rose to new life, and we should remember that is our inheritance. That is the promise that is made to each one of us. Our loss is that it seems to many of us still do not know how to use that inheritance now, while we are still alive, before the undertaker comes. We know that resurrection to a new body, to a new creation, is really the last installment on the promise that makes it all worthwhile. That is when we can look forward to the splendor of the glory that the prophet tells us today comes from God forever. But what will happen before that time? What about today and tomorrow? We are told to go on believing that there is always new life for us. There's always a good reason to go on living and loving and believing. Every time Easter comes, we are all told by Augustine that we are an Easter people. We need to remember that Easter is forever. Even now in Advent, even during Lent, and even now in the passion and the turmoil of our own lives, no season, no time, no trouble can ever separate us from the love that God has for each of us personally, or the power of the risen Christ given to us. We all live in turmoil today. Turmoil of one kind or another. And that's why I urge you to come to the Eucharist for a few minutes earlier than usual. Not just during Advent, not just to practice music, but to learn how to pray, to calm down. How foolish with our values and priorities not to take the precious opportunities to pray, to do as Paul said today, to learn how to value the things that really matter up to the very day of Christ's coming. Christmas is supposed to be a special day for us. Even the guns of war are silent then. Even the wanderer is invited to come home. Even the hungry are sought out to be fed, and the lonely are comforted. For just that brief, short time, love wins the victory. And yet, how do we prepare for it, for this feast? You know how. By shopping, spending, and worrying. For so many people, this time is a time to worry. Will I buy the right gift? Will we offend the relatives if we don't come? Will we have money to pay for it all when it's finished? And every year at this time, we all agree, there's something radically wrong with the frantic pace of what used to be called Advent in and thou hast become a department store Christmas time. We all agree to that. Why don't we make an effort to value the things that matter right up to the day of Christ? What does matter for us? Is it not the precious gift of faith that we have, and our family, and the friendship, and to include above all in that list, peace of heart? To take the time to enjoy each other. Take the time to calm down and to pray. To find silence. To prepare for the Eucharist by reading the Gospel ahead of time. Time to hear the Messiah. Time to make some kind of a retreat at home, perhaps. A retreat away from the jingling and the jangling of the commercial world. We should not lose the peace of Christmas in the name of preparing for it. The peace can come only by preparing for it. We should learn a kind of realistic spirit of Christian optimism at this time. Not the whole, but the donut. Not the glass half empty, but half filled. Not the nighttime coming, but the stars and the moon that arrive. Not the feeling that day is finished, but rather still a sunset. But night still gives us the promise of sleep and rest and a new day. The saving, healing power of our God is all around us. There's no need to go rushing around looking for miracles. They are all around us in the ordinary things. There's no need for us to wait for the second coming. The Lord has never left us. The Lord has never left us. All we need do is find Him within ourselves.
Let us pray. With hearts enabled by God's holy word, let us offer our prayer in confidence that the church may help people in every land recognize the marvelous things the Lord has done for them. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
that we may attune our ears to the cries of the prophets of our own time, so that we may continue to hear the herald's voice in the desert. We pray to the Lord. For our bishops and pastors, that they may help us celebrate the freedom of the sons and the daughters of God, we pray to the Lord. For all those who are suffering, the poor, the ill, the imprisoned, the unemployed, and all those in need, we pray to the Lord. For all the intentions listed in our parish book of prayer intentions and for our own special intentions today. We pray to God.